Some of the actions taking place at the national level regarding immigration have been having an impact on local refugees and immigrants locally here in Colorado. For organizations that provide language translation services for companies and government organizations, those national actions can be particularly concerning. Greetings again. I'm Adam Morgan. In addition to languages translations, the Spring Institute also assists with career pathways for refugees, early childhood learning for children, and supporting healthcare professionals to be relicensed in Colorado. On this edition, we connect with this unique organization, the Spring Institute, through its chief executive officer, Ms. Paula Schrieffer.
Well, the status is the program has basically been shut down since the inauguration of President Trump. We've seen just a trickling of a few special immigrant visa holders from Afghanistan primarily. And then most recently, a few months ago, they announced that they were prioritizing individuals, Afrikaners, white Afrikaners from South Africa. No other refugees have been brought into the country since Inauguration Day. So the program has effectively been shut down, which is really the first in the history of the modern refugee resettlement program. The U.S. Refugee Act was passed in 1980. And so really up until this time, well, until the first Trump administration, you know, the refugee program enjoyed very, very broad bipartisan support. And in fact, I will say I worked for many years in D.C. For many, many, many years, Republicans really were the champions of U.S. soft power, and they really believed in the refugee program. So it's been an enormous turnaround and just very devastating to the refugees who are already here and many of them wanting to be reunited with family members who've been in the pipeline but had not been resettled yet. All of that. And also, I think, just emotionally very upsetting to have an American administration that is against the idea of providing refuge.
For listeners, what's the difference between refugees and immigrants? Are refugees going through a process and immigrants are just showing up at the border claiming asylum?
So, you know, there's refugees are a subset of immigrants. The big difference is refugees did not choose to come here to the United States. They were driven from their homes either because of political persecution or another humanitarian disaster outside of their control, but it was unsafe for them to be able to remain in their homes. Oftentimes they had to flee across borders to third countries and then, you know, apply for refugee status. And in that event, really only less than 2% of the individuals who are in that situation globally will be selected to be resettled in a country like the U.S. or in Western Europe.
Yeah.
And they don't get to choose which country they're sent to. So the people who were already in the pipeline, and we had people literally at airports waiting to get on their flights when this administration announced that the program was being shut down and they were no longer able to come here. So it's been devastating.
Yeah, I bet it has been. Wow.
But immigrants, you know, there are many of immigrants who the difference is they choose to come here, and most of them come legally. They come through different types of visas, although there are, of course, as we know, there has been a large number of individuals who do come to the U.S. border claiming asylum, and so claiming that, like refugees, there are conditions in their home countries that, you know, that endanger them. They have not been through the refugee registration process, and they haven't been selected for resettlement, but it nonetheless is absolutely legal in both international and was under U.S. law to claim asylum. So even many of the individuals who are being identified as, quote, you know, undocumented or illegal are not, in fact, here illegally. They are trying to go through the asylum process.
How has the immigration crackdown been affecting your translators? And I'm sure it spawned all kinds of interesting efforts to protect that community.
Yeah. Well, so we do we do employ and we run a large interpretation and translation program. So we do have a number of interpreters and translators who work for us, and often they are out providing language access in the community. But we also serve community members who do a variety of different things. We provide English classes, for instance, to any individual who wants to improve their English. And so a lot of times, you know, these are folks who are working one or two jobs. They have families. They're trying to improve their, you know, their employability, trying to make a better living for themselves. We, you know, we provide career pathway resume help for people. We specifically try to help internationally trained healthcare folks get relicensed so that they can help fill some of the shortages that we have in nurses and doctors here in Colorado and elsewhere. So we do all of those things. The immigration crackdown has been just devastating, and largely because I think that, you know, people are starting to recognize this, but a lot of people, I think, still believe that individuals being targeted are criminals, are people who are both here and don't have documentation and have engaged in criminal activity. And that is 100% not true.
Yeah.
We know from reporting that the majority of people being detained do not have a criminal background outside of their documentation status. And again, I think it's important to remember that many people are trying to go through the legal process, the legal pathways, and yet those pathways are being closed off at the same time. So all kinds of individuals who, for instance, had been granted temporary protective status or humanitarian parole status, they're losing that. That's being taken away. Even, you know, though they were going through this process of trying to adjust their status and either be and given work authorization, be accepted, being provided asylum or other legal statuses.
Regarding your translation services for companies and that kind of thing, too, it's probably being affected. Can maybe native-born Americans who have a language degree or something like that, can they step in there and help spring out to continue keeping those translation services at a high level?
Well, you know, we do actually hire native-born people as interpreters and translators, although I think about 80% of the folks who work for us providing interpretation and translation are either first or second generation immigrants, but that's certainly not a requirement. But yes, we absolutely encourage individuals who have fluency and interpretation or translation training to come and work for us and help provide language access, which is still so much needed in our communities, whether for, as you said, whether for businesses, government agencies, law firms, and other nonprofits. We serve all of those types of organizations.
Probably here you do a lot of Spanish. Aside from Spanish, what other language translations are clients utilizing?
So Colorado has a very, very diverse immigrant community. As you noted, Spanish is definitely the largest language after English. But then after that, there's just, well, we provide interpretation and translation in nearly 100 languages. Some of the big ones would include Vietnamese, Korean, Arabic, Dari, Russian, Mandarin, Mandarin Chinese. So it's very diverse in terms of Colorado's community. So it's English and then Spanish, by far the second biggest. And then there's about 100 different languages that are spoken throughout our state.
Wow, I need to do a better job in learning a few of those. Your website mentioned that you also provide customized English training for employers. Now, is this teaching employers how to teach their own people English there?
Exactly. And what we find a lot of times is companies, whether they're construction companies, whether they're hospitals, they have staff who are not proficient in English or less proficient than they would need to be able to move up within the organization, but they're excellent employees. And a lot of times companies are really looking for ways to retain excellent staff and offer them opportunities to move into supervisory positions or other types of positions that they need filled. And so they can come to us and do come to us and ask us to create customized classes for those employees around a vocabulary that is particularly useful there. And it really allows them, you know, to be able to retain some of their best employees and move them up within that organization.
Do you think any new laws or regulations that Spring would institute to help support and protect translators?
Well, we have been working over the last couple of years, actually, on this issue of language access, and we'd really like to see the state of Colorado adopt a statewide language access policy that would give guidance to all of the state agencies, government agencies, on what they should be doing in terms of providing access, whether that's translating key documents, providing interpretation at important meetings or having important conversations. And so we're hopeful that this is something that will move forward. We know that a draft language access plan has been written. We've shared that with members of our coalition and provided feedback. So now the ball is kind of in the court of of the governor's office on this. But we'd really like to see a policy that really helps agencies. Most agencies we find want to provide language access. They want to be able to serve the communities that access their services, but they need a little help figuring out the best way to do that and how they should do that.
So you're thinking that bill or something like it may come up in the next legislative session, which starts next month in January?
Well, we ran a bill last year that required the state to do a study and produce this this sort of draft language access policy. And so they've done the study and they've drafted the policy, and we'll see. It might be that they will adopt the policy without any additional statute, and it might be that, you know, we need to do a little shoving in that direction. We'll see what happens.
Tell us real quick about the Refugee Action Coalition of Colorado and this I guess emissions cap of 125,000.
Yeah, so there are many, many, many organizations and individuals who have served the refugee community here in Colorado over the past 45 years. And so a lot of us got together and said, oh my gosh, look what's happening to this program that has been such an integral part of American values and our communities for so many years. So we formed this coalition. I think we first formed it back in 2016. We've obviously been more active over the past 8 months now as we've seen the stoppage of the program. We had pressured the administration to set what it's called the presidential determination, and really it's a cap that every president every year has the opportunity to say, okay, this is the maximum number of refugees that we're going to allow into our country over the next year.
Yeah.
And typically that number has been around 100,000 to 125,000. The U.S. easily has the ability to resettle that number of refugees all across our country.
The insights and perspectives of Ms. Paula Schrieffer, CEO of the Spring Institute, on their support of refugees. We'll learn more regarding the Spring Institute Healthcare Career Pathways Program on our next edition. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch, and many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.